Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
How about let's go to Mike in Hayward. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
How are you guys doing? You know, one thing I don't understand about the NBA now, I ask you guys, that coach from Houston, what's his name?
Ime Udoka.
Okay, so I look at some film of him, look at what he was doing. He's the same kind. He's out there instigating things that he's on the floor half the time. No technical, no nothing. I mean, he's just doing role model what he wants them to do, which to me it takes away from the game. And I know it's a physicality game, it's hard to wrestle game, but also he's using that by trying to get an advantage, which I think is don't make no sense to me. Right? Why don't you just tell your players how to play and stop trying to act like you're mean mugging everybody, and that's gonna help them win. It ain't helped them win yet.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. I mean, what you're essentially getting to, and Mike, thanks for the call. You're essentially getting to the core of who Ime Udoka is as a player. Like these Rockets players that you're watching, this is exactly how Udoka played as a player. Reggie Miller was talking about this during the broadcast last night. They reflect their coach. And so you can say, hey, why is this coach doing that? Purposefully. He's doing that on purpose. He wants them to play this way. He thinks that it has given them an advantage. And by the way, if you look at their season in total, I don't even know how you can argue with it. They won 52 games, and they don't have a one-on-one scorer. They don't shoot the ball well. They're a bad free-throw shooting team, and they won 52 games. And they've done that with defense, intimidation, challenging people, physicality, all of that. He was the exact same way as a player. So, yes, this is not an accident. Like, this stuff is very much being coached, and they're doing a good job of reflecting their coach.
They are, and, you know, Houston is built for this in the playoffs. And in the regular year, they were 14th in points. It's not like they couldn't score. They weren't an anemic offense, but when the chips are down, they rely on that. They rely on Ime Udoka, toughness, defense, and a lot of their offense comes from their defense, where they want to turn you over, they want to get out into the fast break offense, and they want to use their youth and athleticism to score when you're not ready with your defense totally aligned. And I think you mentioned it that the team in the series that has won the turnover battle in
all
each and every
times.
Game. And
yep.
The Warriors had 8 turnovers yesterday.
It's a great number.
It's a phenomenal number, which means, all right, Houston, you can get offensive rebounds, and they only had 13, but the rest of it, you're going to have to earn in the half court. And that's where Fred VanVleet, I'll give him his flowers because he was phenomenal, and Alperen Şengün was unguardable. So beyond those two, if it was a game where the Warriors were going to turn it over the usual number, then the Warriors would have lost.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, those two players in the half court were phenomenal for Houston.
That's all I'm looking at in the box score.
Yeah.
Each game, someone has had, you know, between 13 and 16 turnovers, and the other team has had between 8 and 11. And the team that has between 8 and 11 has won all 4 games. That's it.
Yep.
That's it. And by the way, who's got the Warrior focus on that more than anyone? Jimmy Butler. He walked in here and basically said it. I'm allergic to turnovers. Let's stop doing it. And the Warriors have largely responded, even though Steph and Draymond are very, very prone to this stuff and continue to be, by the way.
Right.
You know, I think of the eight, I think Steph had four of them last night, right?
Draymond had one.
Yeah.
In, you know, obviously limited minutes, but as long as it's not Steph and Draymond, if it's Steph or Draymond,
I agree with you, yeah.
You know, then you can kind of tolerate if one of them has a little bit of a sloppy game. And the biggest takeaway for me in the win is that Steph Curry was, and I guess I'll say ordinary.
Yeah, just not himself, not quite himself, his best.
Air balls.
Yeah.
2 of 8 from 3, 17 points. He was like kind of an ordinary
guy.
Just
never got into a flow. Like he never was able to even consistently get shots and looks, let alone make them when he did. The ones he did hit, you know.
Couple of biggies in the fourth.
The 2 seconds on the shot clock and Şengün goes flying by him and he nails that three. They needed that
big
three.
Time. And if you want to look at like the minutiae as to why Houston lost, that was one of the big ones on an inbound play where you get it to Steph and it's a pump fake and you're Şengün. The one thing you can't do there is to buy the pump fake.
Fly by. You're 7 feet.
Right.
All you have to do is stand there. Even if he gets a shot off over you, it's not going to be a good one.
Yep.
Yeah, Warriors are winning with their brains.
And they had another inbound play in the fourth quarter where they were able to get 4 or 5 passes, and I think that's where they found Jimmy Butler on a cut. Draymond cuts to the middle of the key, and he dumped it down to Jimmy, and Jimmy scored, which was a drawn-up play. And I mentioned the Jabari Smith, like, boneheaded three, the unnecessary three that he took, and then, you know, Brooks staggering into Jimmy Butler on a 3-point shot.
Wow.
The little plays that weren't heady were made by the Rockets.
Yep, and that's largely been the case. I mean, I know these games feel tight. I know the series feels tight. I won't argue that it's not, but the only time the Rockets have come out on top of the Warriors, it is when unforeseen chaos suddenly showed up. Jimmy Butler is knocked out of the game. Pods is puking or whatever's going on and getting 0 points and 0 boards. And you just end up in a spot where you're like, oh gosh, we've got to suddenly turn to players who have not been playing in 3 weeks, if not more. And then meantime, their best perimeter scoring is just careering it all over the place. And all of that added up to what? What did the Rockets win that one by? 11? All of that added up to about an 11-point home win in a desperation situation. So, yes, yesterday was razor thin, and you could argue that the Warriors should have lost. But if you want to take the view from 10,000 feet, the Rockets have only been able to get over the top of the Warriors' brains when kind of like a lot of wacky stuff went the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. Even in the regular year where Steph Curry goes 1 for 10, and 3 points, that was a game that they only won by 10 points, and the Warriors had 20 turnovers, and Curry made one basket. So, yeah, games that are way, way outside the pale, and that's why I look at last night even more as a game that I'm not stunned that the Warriors won, but that's one that they kind of stole because Şengün was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet was electric.
Incredible.
And your best player, Steph Curry, was ordinary, and yet through it all, you made the plays to win it.
Yeah, you won. And it's like sometimes you have to remind yourself of that where you're like, ooh, we got outplayed for most of the game. Okay, listen to what Dibs just said and add that all up to you won.
Yeah.
So how do you feel today if you're the Rockets?
Oh, gutted.
I would be pretty discouraged. Like the scenarios that you needed to play out did. And you still lost.
Yep.
Ouch. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't think it's in their DNA to do what happens sometimes. When you fall down 3-1, what you're looking for is for a team to lose its spirit. And I don't think that that's going to happen to the Rockets tomorrow night. I don't know who's going to win this game, but I don't think the Rockets are going to come out dispirited. I do think, though, that they've now arrived at a spot where you're like, how do we climb this mountain? Like, if all of these things kind of landed in our lap last night, we still couldn't get a victory, and now we've got to somehow beat this team 3 times in a row. That feels like That feels like an assignment for which you do not have the resources to complete.
It's a tall order,
yeah,
no doubt. I mean, you can do it once, and then you get on a plane to come back here, and can you do it a second time here? I mean, it's possible, but it would take a massive effort. And as I mentioned, only 4% of teams down 3-1 in a best of seven come back to win that best of seven.
We've got a lot of 3-1 series tonight. They've reached the half in Indiana. The Bucks are only up by 6. And I say that because, wow, did that surprise you?
Well, because they were down like 15-0.
They were up 20. The Bucks built a 20-point lead, and the Pacers have all but erased it before halftime. And so the Pacers will go into the second half with an opportunity to end Giannis's season early yet again. Yet again.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that at some point this offseason that that won't be a topic for us. I mean, Giannis out in the first round and Dame Lillard, some would argue, first of all, I think next season is gone. And that injury at that age, I don't know if Dame Lillard's ever going to really play great basketball ever again. He really might not.
Well, he'll probably miss the whole year next year.
Right, but at his age, that Achilles injury is usually, I don't want to call it a career ender, but it's a career ender at the level he was at, for sure.
Well, especially the way he plays.
Yes.
Like, you think about Kobe Bryant, and when he had his Achilles injury, he was never the same player again.
And I think that that's probably...
He's a little bit older than Lillard is now. A little bit,
but Lillard is 34. He's 34, he's about to turn 35, and he'll be about to turn 36 when he's ready to play basketball again. So... I don't know, man. That feels like that has run its course as far as that being a pairing that's going to go somewhere. And so, sure, I think, you know, we may arrive at that at some point where I don't know how the Warriors season's going to end.
Yep.
I think I know how the Bucks season's going to end. I don't know what Giannis is going to want. By the way, some odds came out today.
Oh.
I mean, we can do this just for a minute, and then we'll get back to the phones.
Just 5 seconds real quick.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant was 34 when it happened to him.
Same age.
Yeah.
In fact, a little bit younger, because Dame is turning 35 in 2 months.
Yeah, Kobe was turning 35 4 months after it happened.
Okay.
So it's almost identical.
Exact same age. But I saw this today. Giannis, next team odds. Where do you think the Warriors fall on the list?
I would say probably third or fourth.
They are fifth.
Okay.
They are fifth. Yeah. Yes.
I thought I'd get
wrong,
to that.
Wrong.
Yeah. Sorry, Grandy. I'm a little faster.
Warriors are 8-1. The team that I thought would be even higher, though, is the Miami Heat, who are behind the Warriors at 10-1. You'll never guess the favorite, because I don't know why Giannis would want to go here, but it's the Brooklyn Nets. But guess who's number two? This is why I bring it up.
The Rockets.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they need.
Yep. They're hunting for somebody. They're hunting for a one.
Yep. Yep, there's no doubt about it. All right, Steve Kerr, less than an hour. More of your phone calls. We got a lot of you who want to weigh in. Stay right where you are. We're coming to you. We're sponsored by Safeway. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Now back to Draymond it goes. Guarded by Eason. The back cut, Pajemski. Shoveled over to Butler. Pump fake. Flyby. Back up top, Pajemski. He's open for three. Got it! The Warriors have come out of the locker room and have scored 13 straight points. And they lead by six after trailing by seven at the break.
Pajemski.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Boo, BP! That was a nice performance for Brandon Podzbowski's last night. Yeah. Real good performance.
Podzemski. That's my Shams.
Podzemski.
I'm happy with my Shams. Podzemski.
Your Shams is strong.
Thank you. One word, Shams.
I know.
Podzemski.
I do have a new favorite, though, because the one you just played before Shams there, Grandy, I've got to imagine. Of all the mispronunciation sensations that we have, there's only one that doesn't even start it with a P.
Like
Jaminski. We got Jaminski. Brandon Jaminski.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Brandon Jaminski.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was phenomenal last night. And
Brandon hopes to have the same career that Mike Jaminski had. 14 years in the association.
That'll work.
A nice little career.
I don't know, though. He wants to be an all-star. He told us he wanted to be the future face of the Warriors.
And when he said that, I think we both turned our mics off and laughed. But the more he plays, the more the things that he says are like, okay, Pods.
I'm not laughing anymore. No, I'm not saying I believe that. But if Jimmy Shapiro were to send us betting odds right now on the post-Steph Curry face of the Warriors, oh boy, I'm going to anger the hell out of everybody.
Don't even say his name.
No, has he not moved past Jonathan Kuminga?
Jaminski was scrapping.
Yes or no?
I mean, yes, I don't even want to bring up Jonathan Kuminga because you're not bringing up Kevin Knox. You're not bringing up Pat Spencer. You know who you should be bringing up? And God love him, he went out there and did his level best. Trace Jackson Davis. victimized.
Nub Nation. It's Trace Jackson Davis.
That was a failed experiment, is what that was.
Who are you?
I get it.
He had no choice. Kevon Looney was patently bad in the first half.
Kevon struggled.
And Draymond Green was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, hi, this is Quentin Post. He's not ready for that level of defense. So, you know what? You look down the bench and you go, hey, kid. Hey, TJD.
Go guard Steven Adams.
Well, and also, I think he had Shingun a couple times.
Yes.
What's weird is in the moment, so there's a timeout, and I'm in the arena, and I look over at the bench, and I was trying to see where Draymond was, and I couldn't find him, and I thought, you know what? He's probably on the bike. Because, you know, Draymond, he was in the tunnel for a long time staying loose. And I look over, and Trace Jackson Davis is jumping up and down, not like excitedly, but it looked like he was warming up. And the next thing you know, he's in the game. And I was like, okay, Kerr.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Chess, not checkers. And then.
Checkers.
Yeah.
Checkmate.
Checkers, kind of.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, we can ask him about it at 5.
We definitely will. Today's one of those days where, like, we're going to have to organize our thoughts. That game in and of itself led to 19 questions.
For sure.
And then, you know, we like to ask some other stuff, too. You know what I mean? Like, what are you eating? What are you eating tonight, Kerr? What are you doing right now in Houston? You even know where you are?
Yeah.
I'd like to get some of that in there, too. But
I'm going to eat it.
Last night was one of those games where, okay, did you want a foul when you were up 3? Take us through getting the delay game called on you. You put Trayce Jackson-Davis in the game. You started Buddy Hield. All of that stuff. And so we'll get to all of it with Steve Kerr here at 5 o'clock, a little bit over a half hour. Thank you for being with us. And, oh, by the way, those of you who watch on YouTube, we did have a brief, about 45 minutes ago, a brief technical difficulty. And what happens when that happens is, did y'all just get knocked off? And then you're just spinning out in the internet sphere. So anyway, it's rebooted. Get your butt back over to YouTube because we love connecting with you there, number one. And number two, Steve Kerr is coming up in 37 minutes. And so that's a great place to bring it all in. So get back up over to YouTube. Let's go to Rachel on 280. Hi, Rachel. What's up?
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Not important. Not important, but I'm not on 280 anymore because I've been waiting for a while. But anyway.
Where are you, Rachel?
I am in San Mateo now.
You're now in San Mateo. Well, congratulations on your arrival, and thank you for staying with us so long.
Thank you. I listen to your show almost every day. Love it. I would also love there to be more female callers.
Us too.
I know occasionally we'll get a female voice, but I'm just... Shout out to all the ladies listening. I'd love to hear more females. So I have an observation and then a comment / concern about Draymond. I noticed this. I think Pods did this in game 3, and one of the Rockets players did this last night. But when a call is made and the player is like, oh, that's a good call, they twirl their finger. And it's almost as if they're, I don't know if you call this taunting, but they're wanting the opposing team's coach to use a challenge. And I don't know if, you know, other folks have noticed this, but
yes.
It kind of made me think, like, is that considered taunting? I don't know. But that's where my mind went.
Well, Rachel.
And then my...
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
And then my comment / concern about Draymond, you know, tomorrow night, we're obviously going to be in Houston, and this is basically game 7 for the Rockets, right? So they're going to come out with more force, more aggression, more desperation. I know Draymond walks the line, and that's why so many of us love him, but he's got to keep his cool. We cannot afford for him to be ejected. And I think Houston would be quite pleased if he was out of the game. And so whatever he needs to do to be himself, but not lose his mind, that's going to help us win game 5. So I hope that he can do that and, you know, keep his aggression.
Rachel, it's a great call. And I think we all thank you so much for calling. Please call again. And we all, I think, have that exact same kind of emotion when you're watching Draymond, which is you want him to hit the brakes. Like, dude, tap it down and have that awareness. I thought it was interesting after the game last night when he spoke on this. And you know, he's done this before where he kind of takes that emotion that we as fans have where we're like, dude, you got to know better. You got to not get yourself thrown out and all that. And he flatly said, look, the bottom line is, I cannot play fearful of being ejected from the game. I will completely lose my edge. And so I do try. I have the same emotions, the same frustrations at times with Draymond. Last night was one of them. I thought he was going to get thrown out when they were reviewing the play with Tari Eason. I really thought it was a high-level possibility he was going to get thrown out. But I think we got to give those guys a little bit of room. In other words, deal with some of the things that frustrate us as fans and acknowledge that those things are just a part of also the whole package. And the whole package is a total necessity for the Warriors.
It is, but there are times where I think that it's unnecessary for him to get a technical foul. Last night probably wasn't one of them, but you look at the reality of the situation. If you want to go on a deep run, well, you have to be wary, not weary, but wary of your totals. Because if you get to 4 flagrant points, you get suspended. If you get to 7 technical fouls, you get suspended. And you can't afford to have Draymond Green be suspended for a game. And right now, he's got 1 flagrant, and he's got 3 technical fouls. Yep. So you've only got
three?
He's got 3.
Oh,
you got 3 techs.
I missed one.
Yeah. And this is according to FoxSports.com. They've got the updated list. Through 4 games, he's got a flagrant and 3 techs. And I know he got a tech in the last game. Remember, he said, well, I felt like it was the right time for me to get one.
Yeah, game 3 after a I think it was an offensive possession. Yeah, after an offensive possession where he did not get a foul called, he sprinted down the floor, not to get back on defense, but to get in the face of an official.
I remember that one. I'm not remembering the technical in Houston.
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, let me look it up.
I'm just going by the FoxSports.com stats, and you know, I'm going to play the percentages and say he probably got one in Houston. And you know, it was a volatile crowd, and there was FU Draymond chants and the whole thing. So I do agree with him when he says he needs to play with that emotion. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. I understand that. But we've also seen this where he accumulates these points and you get into a spot where now you're going to have to sit out a game. And maybe it's, you know, game 5 or 6 against Minnesota or the Lakers in the next round. Or maybe it's against OKC in the Western Conference Finals. I don't know. And once you get to that point where you get suspended, then it's every other technical foul, you also get suspended, you know?
Absolutely.
It's a slippery slope.
I'm looking through this thing. There were no technical fouls in the game at all, game 1. Game 2, both teams had 3.
Yeah, the Warriors lost that game, right?
Yes, correct. So, Draymond must have had one of them. I have not been able to find the individual technical foul calls.
Okay.
But just the
fact that Tari Eason has 2. Amen Thompson has 2. Steven Adams has 1. Dylan Brooks has 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking again. This is at FoxSports.com, the only website that actually tracks this.
I'm sure they're right. I'm sure they're right.
But Steph Curry's got 1.
Well, yeah.
Bad boy. Yeah. Bad boys for life.
Stupid ass text. So actually, that goes to what Rachel was asking about. So she said, how about when a foul gets called, and the player immediately goes over to the other team's bench, twirls the finger like, go ahead, review it.
That's Pods, right?
Dog.
Pods did that.
Absolutely. The Warriors, again, you know me, the Warriors are not immune. I'm not going to do that in these playoffs and come in here and be like, so the Warriors are innocent flowers and all of the other teams are mean and they're big muscular jerks and the refs should control them. No. Like, Pods flopped a bunch of times yesterday. Jimmy Butler is brilliant with the way that he drew foul calls. This is all teams all the time. And is that taunting? I mean, sure. By the definition of the word, it is. Do I want something called there? No. But the point I'm making out of that is I also don't want a technical called on Steph Curry because he held up 2 fingers at Dylan Brooks. I don't understand how you can pick out anything in these playoffs and decide that that's taunting. Like, there's taunting then on every play.
Yeah.
By almost every player.
Well, and a lot of this comes down to what is the result of an action. So if Steph Curry does that and Dylan Brooks flies off the handle, well, then it becomes a bigger incident than if Pods just twirls his finger toward the bench and nobody even pays him any mind. Well, that's just a guy twirling his finger. If Steph Curry taunts, quote unquote, Dylan Brooks, and Brooks reacts, now it's an incident that, as a referee, you feel like you need to adjudicate on both sides. Because if you look at it, it's like, well, Steph Curry caused this reaction,
right?
Even though all he did is hold up 2 fingers.
Yeah,
and I'm with you.
I was looking up at the TV because just moments ago, there's an offensive foul called on the Milwaukee Bucks, and Miles Turner was very pleased by that, and he clapped in the face of Gary Trent. He clapped in his face 5 times.
Right in the face?
In the face! He was taunting him, Dibs.
He's just clapping. He's celebrating a call.
Hand the ball over to the team and start going the other way.
Your point is well taken in that there's a lot of this at all times on all sides, but The reason why it got called last night, I feel, is because it got escalated into a situation.
I agree, but that's Dylan's fault. Like, how many times do we need to be relearn the lesson in life that, like, you are what you are when you react to bad things? Like, that's on you. If somebody pointing at you incites you to punch at the ball and get into it with somebody who's still on the ground, that's on you. That's on you. I'm sorry. And this isn't me like being like, oh, Dylan Brooks is the only bad guy on the floor. He's not. But in that particular situation, I'm not going to blame Steph Curry laying on the ground on his back because something bothered Dylan. Because Dylan bothers people for a living. He'd be the first one to tell you that.
It was a reputation check on Steph.
On Steph?
The refs know that he's the petty king. You can't be the petty king and also be the baby-faced assassin.
Pretty petty.
Yeah. The petty king got caught. What happened. He got caught.
It was a fun nickname. That was quite a moment when we said that to Steve Kerr last week, and it was like he'd never heard it before. He's like, did you give him that nickname?
Right.
No, he gave himself that nickname. You missed that? How do you miss that? I get jealous of Steve sometimes because he's not in that social media fray.
Right.
He's like, I never even heard that before. Wow. I wish I'd never heard that before.
He's got other things going on.
Yeah, he does.
And he's been off Twitter for 5-6 years now. It's been a long time.
Long time.
Even Steiny came crawling back to Twitter.
He won't admit it, though.
He's back.
He's on there. Hassan in Milpitas. Hi, Hassan. What's up?
What's up, guys? Warriors!
Let's go!
Hey, I don't know if you guys saw this stat last night, but they put up this stat. It said first team to 100 was like 25-2, and as soon as they did that, Rockets go up to 100 points, and I was just like shaking. I was like, oh man, it's over.
25-3.
Number two, I wanted to ask.
Go ahead, Hassan.
Yeah, number two, I wanted to. Sorry about that. Number two, I wanted to ask. Those TJD minutes, man, like, what? I mean, three quick fouls? I mean, like, how do we get this guy prepared for his next opportunity? Thanks,
well,
guys.
Hassan, here's something that I've done, at least in these playoffs, and you can do this however you want. When somebody gets thrown into the game in the emergency break glass situation, I'm going to assess it a little bit differently. So this goes to Jonathan Kuminga in Game 2. This goes to Pat Spencer in Game 2. This goes to Trayce Jackson-Davis in Game 4.
Hi, this is Guy Santos.
Right, Guy Santos, who, by the way, wow, he's kind of milk carting this whole thing here in the last couple of games.
He got 1 minute last night.
Yeah, like I just, when you don't know you're a part of the game plan and something goes awry and the coach turns around and points at you and goes, get in there, and you were like hanging out over there in the with the low minute people, as they as we've learned, they're now called. Like, I don't know, man. That's a tough spot. And he was asked to basically go in there solely for defense to guard a very hot Şengün and an incredibly large Steven Adams. That's a very difficult assignment. So I'm not going to come down his road for, quote, not being ready. I just don't. That was not – that just didn't work out. That didn't work out. If you get the – now, this is why I assessed Kuminga differently in Game 3. If you get the ramp up and you know – you're playing, and oh, by the way, you're starting. If you know all that and you practice for a couple days getting ready for that, and you still go out there and look lost, that's different to me. So I'm going to give TJD some space for last night.
I didn't think Kuminga looked lost, but it's pretty clear that they were not putting him back in the rotation last night. He didn't even get Guy Santos's singular minute. So JK, again, was a DNP coach's decision, and TJD only played because of the situation, which was desperate. You had Kevon, who was not good, and I don't think that it's a good matchup for him because of, you know, the athleticism of Şengün and the size of Steven Adams. It's going to be hard for anybody to keep Steven Adams off the glass. And so, yeah, Draymond in foul trouble, really grave foul trouble, and Kevon not playing great, and Quentin Post had already played a bunch of minutes in that third quarter, so you needed to go to the fourth stringer. And there you go, TJD. And he only committed two fouls officially. And, you know, one of them, and I'm looking at the play right now where Gary's guarding Şengün and he just jumps out to block the shot, and he just crashes into Şengün, and it's like, he's a little overeager.
Sure.
Trying to make a play.
And then the other one, he was trying to box out Adams on the free throw line and ended up just getting taken for a – I mean, he looked like he got into a carriage and got driven around the zoo. I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh. Steven Adams is a gargantuan human being, and he looked like it standing next to TJD.
Well, and it's – I mean, that's a very difficult thing, and he and Gary are both trying to block off Steven Adams. And those two fouls, by the way, happened 1 second apart. Because he fouled Şengün, and on the very subsequent free throw miss, that's when he fouled Steven Adams.
Exactly.
It's like, okay. And then he did have the one shot attempt where he tried to go up and finish at the rim, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Again, no disrespect.
No, it was tough.
He did his level
tough
best.
Moment.
Very tough moment, and a tough matchup, too. And you think about a future series, if it's Minnesota, well, it's not going to get much easier bigs.
Wouldn't think so. I mean, they're not necessarily quite as physical. They're even taller, you know, Rudy Gobert and everything they've got going on their front line. But then again, I'm going to stop every time we start assuming that the Warriors and Timberwolves are going to play. Hold, please hold. All right, let's go to Ryan in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Ryan. What's going on?
It's actually Brian. Nice to talk to you guys.
Hey, Brian. Hey, say hi to Lucas, director of sports, and get him some Q-tips.
I shall.
All right.
I just heard you guys earlier saying people were complaining about Kerr. He's the best coach in the NBA today. He may be the best professional sports coach in the country right now. And I don't – it's just ridiculous. That's number one. Number two is, yeah, sure, the refs are always wrong. I think people just aren't used to seeing defense. 'Cause 72 games, no one's playing defense. And all of a sudden you get into the playoffs and everyone's playing defense. And number three, hey, Dan, we went to high school together.
Wait, hold on a minute. Who is this? Brian who?
You are on my shoulders in the MCAL championship in 1986.
You know, that's very likely. What a football team we had that year in the MCALs.
You were on his shoulders? What were you doing up there?
I was probably leading the student section in cheers for our Marin Catholic Wildcats, who went on to win the North Coast section only to play De La Salle at the Coliseum and get summarily rocked, Brian, if I'm not wrong on that.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't think it was that. I think it was for a picture that ended up in the paper, and there you were, center, and no one could see me.
That sounds about right. That sounds like me in high school, Brian, yeah.
Why is he getting on your shoulders?
Because he's short.
Yeah, I wondered.
Yep.
I wondered.
Even shorter then. And very, like, mascot-ish. Imagine, and yes, I've always referred to myself as a fat red pumpkin. Thank you, Brian. At the time, as a high school senior, I was probably 5'4", and, like, full red hair and loud and obnoxious as I am now.
I have so many questions right now.
People wanted to, like, I was kind of like the mascot of the senior class and the school.
I want to know what you guys were doing. I want to know why you ended up on the shoulders. I want to know why he feels he'd end up in jail if he said his last name on our show.
That's fair.
Like, what the heck was that all about?
Yeah.
Why'd you clam up when you got asked your last name?
Yeah, that's
fair. We give our last name every day. Hell, they're the name of the show.
Literally.
Because he's short.
Yeah, well, I get it.
And now we have that. Thank God I got a little junior college burst to get to 5'8.5".
Burst?
Dude, from 5'4"? You have no idea. All you tall people. Lucas, where are you? You're also a shrimp.
He left.
He's talking to the boss.
Yeah, I don't know what
anyway,
he's doing.
To go from, like, you're 6'2", and Grandy's about the same. To go from 5'4 to 5'8", you have no idea what big deal that is.
I do.
It's a huge deal. Like, for you to go from 5'11 to 6'2", big deal. I mean, that's kind of nice.
I know all about what it's like to go from...
You don't know the first thing
about it. I know exactly what it's like to go from 5'4 to 5'8". My daughter did it a year ago. I'm sorry.
I mean, I was waiting for the dead air alarm. So again, you don't know what that's about.
I also know what it's like to go from 5'4 to 5'8". I did it when I was in fourth grade.
Exactly. So
that's right.
All the height jokes is great.
Jude's gonna do it next year.
No idea.
It's all good, dude. It's all good. standing on the shoulders of giants.
Both of you just wasted height. 6'2", and I'm doing sports
talk.
What are you
talking about?
What a waste.
Knockout finalists. What are you talking about over here? We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. I had to encompass both of us. Just chill. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. And here for your phone calls, 888-957-9570, but not for much longer. Get in right now if you want to share your experience through the stress of that game last night, because also Steve Kerr is joining us in 18 minutes on Willard and Dibbs.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Pajemski dribbles in, throws to the right corner to Payton. Out to Butler above the arc. He'll take it over. Adams, it's good. Rattled it home. Gets the three ball. And the Warriors are back up by 4, 88-84. Butler now with 16 on 6 shots. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, will you remind me, after we share the news that we're about to share with our audience,
okay,
remind me to go back to a text exchange that I just had to display how two different people can look at the same thing very, very differently.
Okay.
Two good people.
All right.
I think. But faithful listeners of Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game, we do have a development.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Steve Kerr's not joining us today.
And that's the breaking news?
Well, it is.
Well, yeah.
Is that not news? Is it not breaking?
Normally the sounder is reserved for signings or injuries or things outside of show booking.
It's breaking news. It's not a show booking issue.
It's a show unbooking is what it is.
It's a rebooking.
Right.
Steve Kerr will join us on Thursday on Willard and Dibbs. The team is safely on the ground in Houston. And as does happen in major cities at 6:45 in the afternoon, the bus is in traffic. Now, why Houston doesn't seem to have the resources for the police escorts that the Golden State Warriors, four-time champs, so richly deserve, I don't know. I can't speak for their infrastructure.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Right, but that's where we're at. And so Steve Kerr is going to join us on Thursday. If you made plans to be with us at 5 o'clock specifically for that, we love you and thank you. And it does give us the opportunity to actually play around with some of the things that got said last night by both sides, and we'll talk that out. It does open up our 5 o'clock hour for more of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. So call right now if you want to get in on what we're calling the experience game, because that was such a stressful journey. And so many people want to point to one specific play or a different one or one player or a different one. So 888-957-9570. We have a Rockets player who's taking a shot.
Ooh, at whom? Taking shots down 3-1? You're allowed to, but...
Amen Thompson, is this taking a shot at Draymond? Is it taking a shot at the refs? Or is it both? You decide. I'm in Thompson. Check it out.
Just talking physical out there. You know, they're just going to let one dude do whatever he wants. And he's not going to get, he's had 2 texts off rip. You know, he can talk to them however he wants. So.
Okay. What Amon Thompson basically said is it's rough out there. It's physical. And there's one guy they let say whatever he wants. And they're not going to do anything about it.
Dylan Brooks. I mean, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. So
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. Amen. And I love the fact that you're from the Bay, from San Leandro and all the rest of it, but you are obviously a little bit biased, as are we, but I'm going to look at this from a little bit more of a global perspective and say there are two players who are able to quote unquote say and do whatever they want. And it is Draymond Green. It's also Dylan Brooks. So I think that Draymond got the benefit of some nuance from the officials. Could they have given him a second technical foul? Sure. I thought that it was a flagrant when he rat-a-tat-tatted Eason's head with his shoes. We've seen it before. It's one of those things where you're going to be a 14-year vet, and even though you have a reputation, the first tech that he got was a reputation tech. I don't think he deserved it. And the second incident, where maybe he would have gotten his second tech, they gave him a flagrant, and they probably gave him only a flagrant and not a tech because they don't want to have a star player drummed out of the game unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah, I understand that. But then again, what do we mean they're going to let someone do whatever they want and not do anything about it when the guy has a flagrant and three technicals in the series? That is doing something about it. What would you like the referees to do? Call his mom? Like, would
probably give him more technicals and more,
well,
like, be a little bit harder on Draymond Green.
But actually, like, to me, this is a sign of weakness. This is another sign of the Houston Rockets' immaturity. Like, I guarantee you, when Draymond hears this, that's a big, huge smile on his face. Like, the fact that Amen Thompson believes that Draymond Green is getting away with this, that, or the other on the floor is, quite frankly, hilarious. Hilarious. You don't get to feel that way if you're the Houston Rockets. You have Dylan Brooks on your team. You have Ime Udoka as your coach. And you are one of the most physically gifted defensive teams in the league. You have gotten to where you are by instigating. Now, if all you're doing is talking about talking, because Draymond is the biggest talker on the court, well, I'm sorry if that bothers you. That's literally what he's trying to do. And I don't believe that talking should... You and I have had this conversation before. I really don't believe that talking, unless we're talking about really excessive stuff, should ever lead to punishment. You can say whatever the hell you want. I mean, if it really gets out of line, or if it just directly leads to fighting, okay. Or if you just won't stop, okay. But talking? What is it you would like the league to do because someone's talking?
Right, they're all talking.
He can do whatever he wants.
If you want to talk about who's talking, Jimmy Butler was the one doing the talking last night.
For sure.
When he was, you know, using the B word to talk about Dylan Brooks, and the B word that he was using was not Brooks, I don't believe. I'm not an expert lip reader, but
didn't look right.
I don't think that he was saying you're a Brooks. I think that he was saying you're something else. So Draymond Green leads the playoffs in technical fouls with three. So clearly, in three of the four games, the officials have decided that his talking or his histrionics, his theatrics, whatever it is that Draymond is doing, they are rebuking him with technical fouls. So
exactly.
If Amen is intimating that it is Draymond, I don't know who else he'd be talking about. Maybe he's talking about the chef, and they finally got him.
He's talking about Draymond.
Of course. So of course. Then what are we doing here, Amen? Because Draymond's been in the league for 14 years, and if you want to total up all the techs over the last 14 years that Draymond's gotten, he's been in the top five in the league in each of the last 10 seasons.
Well, and here's the way I would sort of, and again, this is painting with too broad of a brush, but at the same time, this is how I would describe the instigating nature of Draymond versus the instigating nature of Dylan Brooks. Draymond is much more of a talker. Draymond is probably the most talkative player in the league. Anthony Edwards actually said that recently. They asked him before the playoffs started, there's one team you could go against. Who would it be? He said, Warriors. I want to get the Warriors because Draymond talks the most mess in the whole league, and I want it. So that's interesting, and let's leave that over here in case that series does actually end up happening. But Draymond is much more with the words, and Dylan is much more with the action. Dylan is much more physical. Dylan is, I think, pushes the line a little bit more with hard fouls and acts of I don't want to call them violence, but similar to what he did with Steph last night, punching at the ball. Dylan leans a little bit more that direction. Draymond leans a little bit more the direction of talking. And to me, what's more legal? The talking part. I'd rather go up against that than somebody who's actually going to give you the shoulder shiver when you're running by. They're both capable of it, but Dylan leans that direction more, don't you think?
He does it in a more direct way.
Yeah, he doesn't talk as much.
No.
He was like meditating in front of the Warriors pregame.
Yeah.
Did you see that clip?
I did.
It's super weird.
And the other thing that I think that we all need to figure out a way to eliminate is what we saw twice last night, and that is like infiltrating the other team's huddle. We all want to huddle.
Yes, I agree with this.
And we all want to huddle at the foul line, and we huddle on the sideline when there's a stoppage or a review. And Draymond Green was all up in the middle of the Rockets huddle. And then later in the game, I think
it was Thompson.
It was Amen Thompson.
It was Thompson.
Who was right up, you know, basically between Draymond Green and Steve Kerr on the sideline. And like, I know that it's legal because I'm on the court. I'm allowed to be on the court. Hee hee haw. Yeah. But do we really need to like get to that level of immaturity and petulance and stand in front or stand in the middle of somebody's huddle? That to me is, that's going a little too far.
I agree
with
you.
You're doing too much.
Well, it's an interesting take, but and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now come to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.